Hey everyone, I'm Dorinda Wilson, author of The Unhurried Homeschooler and more importantly, wife to one, mom to eight, and nana to six. We've been homeschooling for over 23 years and I've seen firsthand the benefits of slowing down and taking a more unhurried approach in our homeschooling. If you'd like to learn more about this lifestyle of learning, please check out my book, The Unhurried Homeschooler, on Amazon, or my online mentoring course where I mentor moms in how to simplify and bring more freedom into their homeschooling days. Go to theunhurriedhomeschooler.thinkific.com.
Welcome to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I'm Yvette Hampton, producer and host of the upcoming documentary Schoolhouse Rocked, The Homeschool Revolution. On this podcast, we bring you the very best from today's homeschool leaders to help you start strong and finish well. This podcast is for you. If you have a guest or topic suggestion, email us at podcast@schoolhouserocked.com. Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. I am excited for our guest to be on today. Her name is Misty Bailey, and some of you may be familiar with her. She is a blogger, she's a podcaster, and she's a homeschool mom. And we have an exciting and maybe a little bit of a controversial topic that we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about our kids being salt and light in the world. And we often get that question, you know, well, we've got to have Christian kids in the public school system so that they can be salt and light. And so we're going to talk about that today. And but first, Misty, welcome to the show.
Hello. I am so excited to be here.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Introduce us to your family.
Okay, so we have been homeschooling since 2009. My kids right now are 14, 11, and 7. I was a former public school teacher, and I kind of went into homeschooling begrudgingly. I didn't really want to do it, kind of went kicking and screaming. But God just started laying it on my heart when my oldest was 4, as she was, you know, entering into those preschool years. You have to send your kids to preschool.
Sure.
But at the time, like I said, I was teaching the public school system. So I ended up quitting whenever I got pregnant with my second. But my husband at this point was against homeschooling, even though the Lord had been laying it on my heart. So we sent her off into public school. And shortly after she had entered public school, we started noticing changes in her personality. There were some issues that had come up with the public school system at the time. And so my husband said, if you could teach her to read, you can homeschool. Mm. So no pressure. But I did it. I taught her to read. She's actually the easiest of my 3 kids to teach.
Nice.
And here we are. You know, we've not looked back. My husband now is my biggest cheerleader. So he is pro homeschooling. Like I said, my kids are 14, 11, and 7. My youngest son does have special needs. He has apraxia, ADHD, dyslexia, and dysgraphia. So we are also homeschooling with special needs, which has opened up a whole new world for us for homeschooling. And I'm passionate about helping homeschool moms on this journey, just encouraging them and being that mentor to them that I needed when I first started homeschooling.
I love it. Well, you're good at it. I've listened to your podcast, Finding Joy in the Journey, right? That's the actual name of I know that's your blog name. Is that your podcast as well?
No. So my podcast is Joyfully Homeschooling.
That's right. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, because my blog is Join the Journey, helping you have a more joyful homeschool. And so then the podcast is Joyfully Homeschooling.
Love it. Yeah. So I've really enjoyed listening to it. And you've got some exciting guests on there. And you are just full of so much encouragement. So I appreciate your ministry so much. I want to talk real quickly. You said your husband was really against you homeschooling in the beginning. What was it that caused him to feel so negative about homeschooling?
Yeah. So he thought homeschoolers were freaks. Uh-huh. He didn't want our kids to be weird or to stand out. And at that point, we only knew one other family who homeschooled. And their kids were really good kids. It's not like they were freaks at all. That mom ended up being my biggest homeschool mentor. Mm. But they were the only other homeschoolers he knew. So it was kind of funny because as the Lord was dealing with me to homeschool our kids, God kept putting homeschoolers in his path. From the mechanic who were fixing our van to we'd be at Quiz Bowl, and he would bump into somebody and they would start talking about how they homeschool their kids. And so he started to see that our kids wouldn't be the only weirdos out there. And I just thought that was so funny because, I mean, I think God has a sense of humor, especially, yeah. you know, I think if you ever say the words, I would never homeschool, right? you know, he's going to come along and very likely change your mind. And that's what happened to us. But he's my biggest cheerleader now. He talks to everybody about homeschooling, mm-hmm. and I really couldn't do this without him. So
I love that so much. And, you know, you and I have talked, and that was our story too. We said we would never, ever homeschool. And mm-hmm. now we're making a movie about it. So I think we need to just stick on this never train and say, I'll never, ever, ever make it to Europe. I'll never, yeah. ever, ever go back to Hawaii. Let's use yeah. these nevers to our benefit, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, so much fun. Well, I love that testimony that he is now really on board with that. And that is so much part of the reason why we're making this documentary, is because we want to open the eyes of parents to mm-hmm. see what homeschooling really is. And because we had all those misconceptions too. We were like, our kids are going to be weird. And you were actually one step ahead of us. You had a van, it sounds like, because you said you were having your van worked on. So, you know, every good homeschool mom has a minivan. And I didn't have a minivan. Actually, I don't have a minivan anymore. I did have one for about 6 months. But now we no longer do. So, but I still call yeah. myself a homeschool mom. So it's all good.
All the moms now have SUVs. They're much more right. practical.
Well, that's what we have. And I think maybe if you've had a minivan, that still counts. Or an SUV, right?
I think yeah, totally. Totally. Third row.
If not, you have to have some kind of other bonus points, like really, really long hair or something like that. I'm not exactly sure what all the requirements are. Right. So anyway, see, that's all the negative stereotypes, though. I shouldn't say negative stereotypes. Those are the stereotypes, is what I meant to say, is that we think that homeschooling should look a certain way. And it doesn't. It is so individualized and so different for every family. And it's what makes it so beautiful, is that every family can do this and, you know, do what's best for their family. And every family looks differently. They act differently. They have different methods and ways of schooling, but it all points back to doing what's best for your kids and your family. So,
yeah, absolutely.
So let's talk about this whole salt and light argument. I know this is something that you're really passionate about, which is why I was excited to have you on to talk about this, because oftentimes people will talk about the argument, well, we can't take our kids out of public school or even private school because they need to be the salt and light of the world. And we have so many great arguments against this, but I really want to talk and focus on what scripture says about this. What does God say about our kids being salt and light? And are we being unbiblical by taking our kids out of that public school system and not allowing them to be in there as salt and light and telling other kids about Jesus? Or are we, you know, is there a benefit to having them out of the public school system? You know, I know parents teeter both ways on this. And so let's talk about that. What is your view of this?
Yeah. So I became passionate over this topic because my daughter was taking some leadership training classes to help prepare herself for working at our local Bible camp. And the conversation turned to how she would be less equipped to work with some of these kids because she was homeschooled. Mm-hmm. And that really, she really came home really bothered about that. And at the same time, actually our pastor, our youth pastor had made the comment about the kids needing to be the salt and the light in the public school system, and how, you know, that's one reason he had never homeschooled, is because he wanted his kids to be the salt and the light. So at this point, my daughter felt very negative about, not negative about homeschooling, like she wanted to go to public school, but she felt guilty. She felt like she wasn't doing what God wanted her to do because she was homeschooled instead of being in the public school system. So she and I got talking about how it's just not our kids' job mm-hmm. to be the salt and the light. And I say that because if you look at scripture, a lot of times whenever people talk about that verse or they talk about being the salt and the light, they are referring to in scripture where in Matthew 5, 13 through 16, Jesus tells his disciples that they are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and that they need to go and let their light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. But I think a lot of times what people don't look at is whenever he's talking about that and talking to his disciples about them going out and being the salt and the light, he's talking to adults. He is not talking to children. And I cannot find anywhere in scripture where Jesus goes and he tells kids to go out there and to preach the gospel, mm-hmm. because throughout scripture, whenever children are mentioned, even Jesus as a child, they're learning. They're not out there yep. discipling or teaching other people. They're learning under their parents. They're learning under people within the temple. He's telling the children to come to him, but I can never find a place in scripture where he's telling children to go out and be missionaries, because that's not their job.
Yeah, that's right. It's not their job. It is their job to be salt and light wherever they go, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean putting them in a system that is teaching everything contrary to the word of God and expecting them to be strong enough to defend that. And kids don't, kids can understand God's word. Of course, kids are really mm-hmm. smart. And they are usually in that process of trying to figure out what they believe and why they believe it. But a child does not, I would say, even many middle school and high schoolers, they don't completely understand yet what they believe and why they believe it. They're still in the stage of asking questions and trying to figure out, okay, this is what my mom says. This is what the world says. This is what my dad says. This is what my neighbor kids, my neighbors say. And where do I fit into all of this? And what do I really believe? And so expecting these kids to be able to say, well, this is exactly what's true. And this is what I believe. And here's how I'm going to defend it. They haven't been taught yet how to do that. Now, there are some amazing Christian parents who, of course, teach the word of God to their kids, on a daily basis. And they have their family Bible time and stuff. But it's very different when you're not being able to teach them that day in and day out in a home setting where it's you and it's them, and you get to observe their struggles and their victories and all of the things that your kids deal with in their childhood, and you get to be the one to instill truth into them. When they're apart from you for 35 hours a week, it's not possible to be able to do that.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly it. I think that particularly when our kids are young, their job is to be trained up by their parents. Mm-hmm. It's to hide the word of God in their heart so that when they're older, they can go out and serve him. Now, that doesn't mean that our kids can't be a positive witness to those around them, but it also doesn't mean that we need to place them in a spiritually hostile environment at a young age just because we think our kids should be the salt and the light to the public schools. Because I think that our public schools are set up to where really our Christian kids are failing in the public school system. They're not set up to where they are a place where our kids can even be a light to an extent, because everything around them is so anti-God. Mm-hmm. And particularly I look at my two younger kids, and they're 7 and 11, and I don't feel that I have had the time to fully prepare them for the world, to prepare them to be missionaries, to go into an environment full of people who are not Christians and spread the love of God. Now, they can do it with me. We can go out somewhere as a family, sure. and they can be that light. They can be that light on a sports team. They can be that light if we go out and as a family and serve homeless people or serve at funerals. There are ways that they can still be a light, but it does not have to be within the public school system. And I don't feel at their age, that's really what they should be doing anyway.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's a huge responsibility that we put on them. And to be quite honest, most wouldn't do that. Now, that's not to say that there are not Christian kids in public school or in private school who are really impacting the lives of other people, because I've known them personally. There are certainly our kids out there who are, they're hosting Bible clubs and they're leading Bible studies and they're inviting their friends to church and they're inviting their kids to youth camp and things like that. There are definitely kids out there who love Jesus and who who are very solid and confident in their walk with the Lord, and they go out and they can really make a difference. And so it's not to say that that doesn't ever happen. But it's a rarity.
Those are more of the rare cases. And a lot of times, how old are those kids too? I mean, I don't think they're elementary age students or even early middle school. Most of the time they're high schoolers, right?
Right, right. Yes. Yeah. I definitely would think so. At least at the very youngest, usually middle school.
Yeah.
And you know, we've talked a lot with our girls about foundations and, mm-hmm. you know, you just use the structure of a building. We were driving by recently, some houses that were being built and they were pouring the foundation. And I said, you know, they would never build those walls around that house and start putting the roof on before building that foundation because the house would not be able to stand. You have to build that foundation and it has to be a strong, solid foundation in order to hold up the walls and hold up the roof and be able to protect the family that's inside of that home. Mm-hmm. And so why do we do that with their children and with their hearts? You know, we think, oh, let's just ship them out there and then we'll undo everything that they've learned. And we did a great interview with Brian Osborne for Schoolhouse Rocked, and he had been a public school teacher for, I think, about 13 years. And one of the things he said is, he said, if you are a Christian parent and you have your kids in a public school, he said, you need to be prepared to know everything that they're being taught. Yep. And then be willing to undo all of the lies that they're being taught. And he taught public school. Our kids are going out there in these schools and they're learning lies. And so to have to bring them home, and it's not even possible to know everything that they're being taught, but to bring them home and then have to undo it all, well, you may as well just homeschool them because that's, you know, it'd be much easier to just teach them the truth in the first place. But, you know, talking about the foundation and our kids being able to build that solid foundation. That's our job as their parents, is to build that solid foundation of what they believe and helping them to understand why God's word is truth. And then they can go out and defend that. That's what apologetics is all about. And so I love that, you know, one of the verses that constantly comes to mind is Luke 6:40, that a student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. So if we're sending our kids out to these schools that are teaching untruth and we're telling mm-hmm. them, okay, your teacher is telling you 2 + 2 = 4, believe them, that's true. And your teacher is teaching you that evolution is true. Okay, well, don't believe that. Okay, but believe this, but don't believe that. But believe this, but don't believe that. How confusing is that for any child?
Yeah, exactly. And I think if we look back to, you know, when we were kids, I was never taught to question my teachers. I was never taught to even remotely doubt what they were teaching me. And, you know, particularly when we send our kids to public school, you know, we want them to be respectful to their teachers. We want them to listen. We want them to learn. But like you said, they're filling their heads with all of these untruths. And I don't know about where you guys live, but where we live, you know, our kids really, they're not, we live in pretty much the Bible Belt, but at the same time, there are so many issues within our public school system mm-hmm. where God has been mocked, mm-hmm. where religion has been mocked, and to where, you know, even Christian kids that my daughter's in youth group with have flat out said that they feel uncomfortable being a Christian within the public school. And these are teenagers. And I don't remember, I was a church bus kid. So I grew up, my parents were divorced, and, I was one of those kids who was not raised in a Christian home, but I had a friend who invited me to church and the church bus took me to church every week. So I was a Christian in high school. I felt I had a very good grasp on my faith, but I also remember being tempted on a regular basis within the school system. I remember being mocked for having Christian t-shirts. I remember being one of those kids who felt like they didn't fully fit in. And even though I had that good grasp on my faith, I don't remember teaching or talking to other people within the school about God. You know, they knew I was a Christian, but I never felt comfortable ministering or being that light within the school system because it did feel so dark. Mm-hmm. And if it felt that dark 20 years ago,
right,
what does it feel like today?
Yeah.
And I don't know any of us that can look back as a child and say that we really had a good enough grasp on our faith, a good enough grasp on scripture that we could have really made a huge difference in a world that was so, so, so dark. And I think one-on-one ministering with our kids, one-on-one going as a family and doing those mission-led activities is just a much better way to train our kids up in the word of the Lord and to train our kids to be ministry-focused and mission-focused than throwing them into the dark system of the public school. So,
yeah. And I love that you said that, because that's one of the questions then is, you know, if our kids are not going to be salt and light in a public school, how then can they be salt and light? How can God use them? Because certainly God can still use our kids. We're not at all saying, you know, well, kids are kids. They can't be used at all to impact the kingdom of God. Certainly they can. How does your family do that?
So for us, I feel that our kids are able to be the salt and the light by going out, and our church as a church, you know, we do back to school bashes every year. And, you know, we give free backpacks to kids. My oldest took leadership training, like I said, at our church camp, and she was able to work as a cabin leader this past summer with 8-9-year-olds and 6- and 7-year-olds. And so many of those kids came from rough homes. And they would talk to her about things that they had experienced within their home. And she was really able to pour the love of God on those kids. And there was one scenario where one of the girls was talking to her about some things within her home, and she didn't know how to respond. And I wasn't there. I wasn't at camp with her. So she went to a good friend of ours, and she was able to talk to her, you know, okay, this, my one of the kids in my cabin told me this, how can I help them? And that right there, that mentorship relationship is exactly how our kids need to be trained up in the mission field and in the ministry. So they were able to talk together, and then she was able to go back to this child and talk to this child and really be the light. And I saw those kids when I came in and watched her at camp, and how they just loved her, and how she had just poured so much of herself into these kids. Other ways that we do that is, you know, as a family, if there are people within our church or people within our community that we knew that passed away, I've always told my kids, you know, somebody dies, take them food, you know, take their family food, go serve that family. And that is something that we as a family have always done. And we count it as school, you know, that is going out and showing our children how to be servants, how to be the hands and feet of Jesus.
Yeah.
And so we do that. My middle is a huge, huge animal lover. And while I would love to encourage her to love people more, she prefers the furry four-legged creature. But I feel God can still use that gift. Sure. God can use that gift and that passion she has for animals. So we have went and worked with abused dogs. Mm. We've went and walked dogs at the animal shelter. She did 1 year for her birthday. Instead of getting birthday gifts, she took up donations for the animal shelter. And then her and a couple of friends went and worked for the day on her actual birthday at the animal shelter. And they spent the whole day scooping poop out of his bin at the time. But she was still being the light of God. Those people knew she was a Christian within the animal shelter. She had talked to them, you know, said, I've been praying for these animals. Mm. And there are ways our kids can make an impact without being in the public school system.
Yeah.
And I think that, one thing we don't talk a lot about whenever it comes to the question about, you know, our kids being the salt and light is we don't talk about, the aftermath of some of these Christian kids who go into the public school system. You know, is the public school system changing, or are Christians in the public school system changing the public schools, or is the public schools changing our kids? Yeah. And I think that's something too that we need to ask ourselves whenever the question about the salt and the light comes up.
Yeah, I agree. And statistically, more kids are walking away from the faith coming out of high school and more of the public schools. You know, I'm not going to say every kid who's in public school is going to walk away from the Lord, and certainly not every kid who's homeschooled is going to continue walking with the Lord. We've known both sides of it. We've definitely known public school kids and private school kids who are strong in their relationship with the Lord, and they've gone on to do ministry and serve the Lord in amazing ways. And we've known homeschooled kids who have just said, nope, this God thing's not for me, and I don't want anything to do with it, and they completely go off the other direction. But statistically, there have been studies done that have shown that a larger majority of kids who are raised in homeschool families continue down that path of serving the Lord. And many, many, sadly, who are raised up with a godless worldview are walking away. Hey, we're going to take a quick break to hear from one of our sponsors, and we will be back for more.
I'm Colleen Sharp, and I'm host of Theology Gals podcast. Join us every week as we discuss various topics relating to theology and the Christian life. We hope to encourage women in the study of God's word and discernment. You can find us at theologygals.com and on all podcast apps. Starting January 1st, you can also hear Theology Gals on the Christian Podcast Community, along with other great Christian podcasts.
Yeah, the studies that I found showed that about 80% of Christian teens walk away from the Lord whenever they enter into their college years. But I'm thinking that the statistic of homeschoolers is somewhere around 10%. It may be 20. I know it was no higher than that, but the difference is phenomenal to me. And I think it goes back to making sure, like you said, with the house, with that they have that foundation. They have been raised in a biblical worldview. They know how to discuss other cultures. They know how to discuss the Bible. They know how to talk about all these questions that they may get asked, you know, like, well, why do you believe in God? And, well, why would a good God let so many bad things happen? They're raised to, you know, talk about bad influences and what they, how can they can turn away from those bad influences. And they also have more Christian examples. They have more influences around them that are biblical, and they get that more solid foundation. And I don't think if our kids are away from us for 6 to 8 hours a day, how can we do that? How can we teach them diligently? We can't. And if we can't teach them the word of God and teach them those biblical principles and those foundations and a little bit of time that we would have them if they're in public school, then how do we expect our kids to go out there and to be a salt and the light in a world full of darkness, which is what we're doing? We're expecting to send our kids into these public school systems as missionaries, but they've never been properly trained.
Right. That's right. That's exactly right. It's not like they're not going to have opportunities to do that. You know, they've got neighbors, most of them, that they can go and talk to and just be a good witness to. In our house that we left in California, we had a great neighborhood that had so many kids in it. And, you know, we didn't keep our girls from playing with the kids. But there were many times, I mean, our girls would invite them to church and they would invite them to just do all kinds of different things, and they would talk to them. They gave one of our little neighbor girls a Bible, and so my girls weren't afraid to talk about those things, and so there were still plenty of opportunities for them to tell others about Christ. Let me ask one quick question, because we've got to wrap here in just a minute, but if we're not sending our kids out to be the salt and light in a dark world, who then? Who do we send out? Who goes to be the salt and light to tell these kids who desperately need to hear about the love of God?
Yeah, so I think that there's a couple different ways we can do that. First of all, I want to say real quick that something that had come up recently with the salt and the light is my daughter has been doing cross country for our local school system. And she had ended up inviting a bunch of the kids from cross country to a recent youth night. So even though she's not in the public school, she still has this association with the public school kids through sports teams.
Yeah.
And she was able to lead one of those little girls to Christ actually this past Sunday night.
Wow. She
was living that example of being the salt and the light, even though she's homeschooled, to these public school kids.
That's awesome.
So I think that is one way right there, you know, particularly as our kids get older. My kids, where we live in Ohio, they are able to participate in sports teams. So even though they're not within the public school system, they can still have those relationships with some of those public school kids. And my kids always invite them to church. They always invite them to church. They always invite them to Bible school. So, but they're able to do that more in a controlled environment. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not being thrown into a school system without me.
Right.
You know, I'm able to be at practices. I'm able to know these kids through games and different things. So there's that. Also, within one thing that has happened that I've heard a lot of is something called the Good News Club. Mm-hmm. And what that is actually a Christian organization that they go around and they set up Bible schools or Bible clubs within the school system, and anybody can do this. I've actually thought about looking into starting one in our area. There's programs like that. Also, one wonderful example that I know personally, actually, my homeschool mentor. So her name is Jamie, and she raised her kids. She homeschooled them, and they grew up to be wonderful, wonderful adults. They're all serving God in the churches where they're at. One, her son's actually a missionary in the Middle East. They're in the process of going over there. Wonderful, wonderful family. But after her kids were grown, she's now working in this in the public school system. Mm-hmm. And I think that is something to consider, too. You know, public schools, they do need that light, but it doesn't have to be our children. Mm-hmm. And when I look back on my school days, I do remember the teachers. They might not have been able to tell us about God, but I could tell the ones that were different.
Yeah.
You know, I think that you can still be that light. You can even get involved as homeschool parents. We could get involved in the PTO. Mm-hmm. We can still get involved in our public schools without sending our kids into those environments to be the missionaries. So
yeah.
I don't know if that answered your question fully or not.
But. No, it totally did. And I think that's perfect. We have a good friend who's a public school math teacher, and he's a cross country coach, and mm-hmm. he is just, he always finds opportunities to talk to his kids about Christ. And he has led some of his students to the Lord, and it's just been such an amazing thing. You know, he's a homeschool dad, but he's an adult who knows what he believes, mm-hmm. and no one's going to shake his belief. And so he goes out and he uses the platform that God has given him to be able to be a light to these kids in a very, very dark world. And so it's really exciting. And there are things, you know, Young Life is another organization that goes out into public schools mm-hmm. and has Bible clubs and tells kids about Jesus. And you're right. I mean, there are a lot of ways that we can get involved as parents, and then just pray. I think pray for the kids in the public school system, and pray for the Christian parents or the Christian teachers and administrators who are mm-hmm. in the thick of it, because good gracious, it is a huge battle that they're fighting right now, and they for sure need our prayers. And I so respect those Christian men and women who are leading these kids in a very, very difficult time and in a very dark world, and everything is against them, and they don't have the freedoms to tell these kids what they desperately need to hear. But God can still open up opportunities for them to do that. So anyway, Misty, thank you so much for your time today. I've so enjoyed talking to you. I hope that this episode will be a great encouragement to all those listening, and where can people find you?
Yeah. So my blog is findingjoyinthejourney.net. And then I also recently launched a podcast, as we talked about mm-hmm. earlier. It is joyfullyhomeschooling.com. And you will be on my podcast as well. So maybe we can link to each other in our show notes.
Yeah, that sounds great. We will definitely put all those links in there. So thank you. Have a great rest of your day. And I look forward to connecting with you again soon.
Thank you so much. You too.
Thanks, Misty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I hope this episode of the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast has been an encouragement in your homeschool journey. For great homeschooling videos, articles, giveaways, and more, check out members.schoolhouserocked.com and use the coupon code PODCAST10 to save 10% on any paid Backstage Pass membership. Backstage Pass members get exclusive access to full interviews from the cast of Schoolhouse Rocked and so much more. Also, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes and leave a review. Until next time, I'm Yvette Hampton, wishing you the joys of community and the wisdom to teach and learn. God bless.